talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, October the 24th, 2025, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here. WGH Talk Time. Do want to remind everybody again, Kroger Kids Night Out coming up Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for some games, fun games, and spooky prizes. They'll also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. That's Kroger Kids Night Out Monday, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m., Route 95 Kroger here in Marion. Ghost and Goblins galore. Now, phone lines are open here at the station, 740-383-9944. Always good to have Pastor Whitaker on each and every Friday. And I do want to remind everybody, we'll be on 8:15 until 10 p.m. tonight. And then Matt will have his show on tonight from 10:15 until 11 p.m. on this station. But the phone lines are always open, 740-383-9944. Did you get the keys fixed?
I did, yes.
We have this keychain here in the studio, and it's a metal keychain, but it comes undone very easily. And when Pastor Craig was here, he bent it for us so it would not come undone after we put the key on it. And somehow, about a month ago, it became, somehow the bent broke. And now it falls off every time you get the key. So now it's fixed.
Well, I had pliers in my car. Got them out of my one of my like four tackle boxes, and I just pinched it. So hopefully it pinched shut now.
All right, thank goodness, because we don't need that happening anymore. What is the point of keychains like that?
I don't know. I mean, I have a keychain, but I always use like the little rings that you like, you know, circle your finger.
Yeah, that one's difficult.
Yeah, no, I don't like those ones.
But now it's bent shut, so we shouldn't have an issue.
Shouldn't have an issue.
So what's coming up on your show tonight, 10:15 to 11?
Well, Caden is actually coming back tonight.
Oh.
So we're going to talk mainly about football. Ask him about the halftime show, about the potential of Mike McDaniels being fired, things of that sort.
So what's going on with the halftime show?
Well, I mean, the same things that have been going on. People tend to not like the fact that it's, you know, Bad Bunny.
Is that still going on?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's said anything else at this point, but I haven't gotten Caden's opinion on it. So I'm interested to see what Caden thinks about the halftime show.
Well, didn't the NFL say this week, we're not changing, we're not even thinking about it?
I do not know.
I think that's the last I heard of it.
Well, I mean, this sounds about right. I mean, yeah.
Something else to argue about.
I mean, the NFL is an international, like, I understand that it's in America, and most of the team, well, not most, all of the teams are, you know, in America, but, I mean, it's an international sport. People watch all across the world, and people all across the world know who Bad Bunny is, so I think, all in all, I mean, it's more beneficial for the NFL to have Bad Bunny there.
Well, I don't think they would do it if it wasn't...
I mean, they do games in Brazil, not every year, but they do games in Brazil often, so, I mean, like, they do games, you know, across seas all the time.
Well, I don't think they would do it if it wasn't financially advantageous.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of people watching the halftime show this year from all across the world.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for the NFL.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So here we are. What else is going on? Well, we talked about the 100th anniversary, what would have been the 100th birthday yesterday of Johnny Carson. National Talk Show Day was yesterday. Oh, here's one. Well, this is an interesting question. A woman wrote in to the Washington Post advice column saying her husband is always home and she has no time to herself.
See, that's why I don't get married.
Well, yeah, that's a problem with marriage. But what advice do you give to this woman who apparently wants to have some downtime, alone time, but the husband never leaves the house?
I mean, is she like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how much do you know about it? Just that?
That's it.
Well, I mean, if she can drive or something, I mean, go literally anywhere. I mean,
some people want to be alone in their house. They just want to be alone.
I don't know what to tell you then. Get another house to kick your husband out. I don't know.
But
what to
why
tell
doesn't
you.
He leave? I mean, everybody's got to leave at some point. He needs to get some friends or something.
I don't know. I mean, I'm home to sleep. That's about it. I'm not usually at home. So I'm like, I'll get bored and I'll just drive if all my friends are busy. We'll drive for like 3 hours.
For what?
To drive.
Do you have like a fear of being home alone or something?
Oh no. I mean, it's just boring. There's nothing at my house to do. I mean, I'd rather be driving. Driving.
You
fun.
Know, I'll tell you, that's a depression that people don't talk about very often, being home alone. When I was moving out to go to college, and I moved out alone for the first time in my life, after you live with people all your life, I remember another one of my friends was also doing the same thing. And they hated being alone. There was something about being in their apartment alone that they just could not stand. When they got up in the morning, they just had to go. They had to leave.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, there are times, sometimes I'll stay at my, if I'm, like, tired or something, I'll go to my, there are times I just sit at my house. I mean, there's nothing, I don't know, like I said, there's just nothing to do there, really. I mean, I got cats, I hang out with my cats.
Well, I mean, there were the same things to do in this guy's apartment that would have been to do at his house, except the people weren't there. And
I don't know, I mean, I never minded living alone. I thought it was fine. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
about like living with somebody else.
It sounded like that from him because he could not be alone. He would find something to do, even if it wasn't something to do. He just did not want to be in that place alone. He would much. I mean, of course, he was at times, but if he could find a way around it, he was not going to be there alone. If it was going to visit somebody, if it was going to drive around, if it was going to a store, because we live close to a lot of stores, he would just go and walk around and look at things. He just did not want to be home alone.
Well, I understand, it has nothing to do with being home alone. It's just, like, if I'm home alone, I'm bored. I mean, that's about it. So, like, if I'm, you know, if one of my friends wants to, like,
see, now,
do
I don't
something,
get
I'll
that.
Hang out with my friends, or I'll, like, you know, like I said, worst comes to worst, I'll just drive. It gives me something to do, other than sit there.
See, bored, I don't understand. Because there are things that I will never have the time to get to in my life right now that I could easily do at home and would probably get done quicker with nobody bothering me, but I just
well, sure.
never get to it.
I mean, like, I have books I could read. I mean, I actually need to read them. I'm in the middle of like two books. I just switched books because I wanted to read the other one more. But I have lost my glasses, and my glasses that I do have are not. I mean, they're like 2 years old, so I got to go get new glasses. I can read about like 10 to 20 pages before my eyes start to bother me.
Mary out there is saying, I think being alone is something you grow into. Age makes a difference. Now, that I agree with, because I do know people who, this would have been out of high school into college. This is like 18, 19, 20. Now, that person's perspective is a whole lot different now, somewhat years later. Because then you're used to it. Then it's not a thing. And also, then you kind of look for, because you build your own families again. You build your friends, and then you're not alone again. But when you first leave your house, you know, if you lived with your parents what? And you lived with siblings.
I'm confused.
What?
You not have friends when you live with your parents?
You
you're
do,
not, you're
but
not building a new friend group. I mean, you still have the same friend group. I mean, all the same people I hang
no,
out with
just,
now are the same people
becomes,
I hang out within.
But you build more people. Because
oh,
if
well,
you're out in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you add people on.
Right. But when I'm saying the big contrast is leaving your home. Your parents aren't there all the time.
Oh,
anymore.
I could not wait to leave.
Well, you say that, but you go and visit them all the time. Now, see, I couldn't do what you do.
I graduated high school and I moved out. Me and my brother dipped. I wouldn't. It was a lot.
But you go home a lot.
I go to my grandma's more than I go to my mom's.
But you say you're over at mom's having dinner a lot.
Yeah, she invites me over for dinner.
See, I couldn't do that.
So I go over and have dinner with my parents.
Well, right, nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, you know, people who talk to their parents every day, that blows my mind. I could not do that. Not it's a bad thing.
Well, also, it is different. Like, I see my mom almost every day.
There you go.
But, like, I don't go to her house. It's just like a different kind of, like, I, you know, I work with my mom. So that's different.
Yeah, but what I'm, and you still have dinner. So what I'm saying
yeah,
is,
but it's free, I like free food.
Right, but it's, that's different.
That's why, well, I don't go to my grandma's house so much for dinner anymore. Used to, though.
So you would go to anybody's house for free food?
Oh, I like food.
Oh. No, I'm not. It is different. When you live in, like, a house where there are people coming and going,
like,
all
even
the time.
Like, me and my brother bought my dad a ticket. My brother bought his own ticket. I bought my own ticket. But we went to the Browns-Dolphins game because my dad's a Dolphins fan. And we bought tickets for him for his birthday. So we went to the game. And, by the way, Dolphins got absolutely destroyed by the Browns. So good on the Browns. And, like, so we had to leave at, like, 9 because it was a 1 o'clock game and it was in Cleveland and you had traffic and all that kind of thing. So, but, like, they wanted, or not they, he, my dad, just so I didn't, like, oversleep, which I have a tendency to do, they wanted me to stay at their house so I could for sure be there. But I was not about that. I do not like to stay at my parents' house. I don't like to stay anywhere but my house.
Now, you said something on the show the other night that I thought was interesting, because you I think you have some kind of psychological barrier with your sister. Because this has been well documented.
Oh, no, I don't. She's okay.
No, see, there you go again. There's your bipolar on her again. Because the other night we were doing a show, and the question
she
was...
She just brags a lot. I mean, it fits. Yeah, I mean, she does a lot of bragging. So, you know.
But again, if people didn't see the show was, we were talking who brag. Women have a harder time bragging than men was the theory. And when we got into this with you, you said, no, you did not feel that was the case. And the example you gave was your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is it's like, she is like the focal point of a lot in your life. You very rarely ever say anything about your brother. You very rarely ever say anything about your parents in that way. But your sister has a... But you are so bipolar about her.
I don't...
It's one extreme to the other.
I don't have any problems with my brother, and I don't have any problems with my parents. I have problems with with Kate.
But you claim you don't when it comes up. Like, oh, she's fine.
No, I mean, like... I don't know, like... I've gone to, like, we, like, you know...
Go,
like,
shopping, yeah, and you bought her things, and the whole thing, and then in the next week you'll be cursing her. I don't understand it.
I didn't buy her things.
There's some kind of...
There's no buying her things.
There's something there, I'm telling. Just you and her go shopping, and isn't it great, and you had the best day.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's what I heard.
I mean, we went shopping. There was that. I mean...
And she helped you?
It was an all right day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From this person who you can't stand, who's braggadocious, and you were so glad to get away from, and blah 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 blah. You don't see the block you have with her?
I mean, I don't know. I don't dislike my sister,
but you also don't like her.
Well, I mean, no, it's not that I don't. It's just, like, of the five people, I guess four people, because I'd be the fifth. Of the four people in my family, she's like probably bottom rung. I mean, I don't dislike
her. Because
she's just my least favorite of the group.
I don't know what the girl did. And you feel your, this is the only time you bring up your parents. You feel your parents have a very big bias toward her.
Well, I bring up my parents not often, but I mean...
Not in a negative way, but in this one, this is a negative way. You feel that she has a bias toward, that they have a bias toward her.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, me, my brother, my sister, and my parents, that's, you know, that's a thing we do, is we just get together and drink sometimes, because there's nothing else to do, I guess. We've gotten my sister to acknowledge it before. My parents will swear up, down, left, right, sideways, and center no preference between any of you whatsoever. But we've gotten Kaylee to agree that she's the favorite.
So what is the favorite?
I mean, like, what do you want, examples?
Yep. I want examples.
Like, one time when we were really little, I don't even remember what happened, but she cried and said we did something to, me and my brother did something to her, so then my parents made us, like, sit on, like, they basically, like grounded us for whatever, and then, they made us, like, sit on the couch, we weren't allowed to talk, and we weren't allowed to do anything, and then, like, as soon as we sat down, she stopped crying, and then we stood up, and then she started crying, and then, like, my mom was like, oh, well, you know, basically just like, well, she's obviously lying, and then, like, she... Like, then, so she was like, whatever, you guys are fine. So then me and my brother got up. She starts crying again. My mom makes us sit back down on the couch and was like, look, I'm not dealing with it. So we just got in trouble because she didn't want to hear my sister cry.
But what does this carry today? You got to let those childhood traumas go.
I mean, that was just a memory.
Has happened in recent years?
Recent years? I mean, I don't know. I mean, my parents used to always say that if we went to college, that was on us. My sister went to college, they pay for her food, they gave her a whole car that they're still paying on, as a matter of fact. My brother drove around me and my brother had to buy our own car. They gave her, like, a 2018 Chevy, like, yeah, she's the favorite. They wouldn't give me a car, they wouldn't give Caleb a car. They told us they wouldn't even help us pay for college. They're paying for her food, college, rent. They gave her a whole car.
So what do you trace this back to?
What do you mean?
Well, why?
Take that up with them. It's the only dog.
No, yeah, I'm sure you've asked them. This seems like a hostile point with you.
I mean, yeah, my brother. I mean, like, the group. Like I said, I mean, like, we brought it up when we were drinking one night. But it was more like, I don't know, haha funnies. But, like, Kaylee agreed. My mom and dad will swear up, down. Like I said, they swear.
Well, what about the college thing? What would they say about the college and the car thing?
They said that they were, if you bring up to them the fact that they said that they wouldn't help us pay, like, you know, help us do all the things that I listed, they would tell you that that never happened. But me, my brother, and my sister all can verify that that happened. We have verified that that happened.
So why lie?
Because, I don't know, take that up with them again.
Because this is your problem, not mine.
I mean, they say it doesn't happen. I mean, you can't. What do you want me to do? Ask them why they lied? They're going to be like, didn't happen.
I don't think they would say they're lying.
Yeah, because they said that it never happened. You got to. I mean, if you just say it never happened, and then you're like, why are you lying? Didn't happen. I'm not lying. It's as simple as that.
I think you should bring her on the show.
My mom or Kaylee?
Well, I think your sister would be good. I think she's the bane of a lot of your problem.
I mean, I think Kaylee would come on if I were, I think you should invite her on.
Because I'd like to meet this person.
If I were to invite Kaylee, I think Kaylee would come on.
Well, there you go. Well, apparently she's all ego.
I mean, I don't know about all ego.
We're going to get into some of these issues.
Kaylee's smart. I won't lie. I mean, Kaylee's a smart person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the ego then?
I don't know. I mean, what do you mean, what's the ego?
Well, you told me she had an ego. She has no problem being braggadocious. She was your example.
Well, she brags. I mean, okay. Well, we went to I think it was Tennessee versus Ohio State. It was the family parent weekend thing. And you know, they asked me if I wanted to go. And again, we just pre-gamed at like 8 in the morning and went to the Ohio State game. And it was a whole thing. What she used the term for it. Essentially, she was just bragging that, like, my mom and dad bought all of her drinks, they pay for her gas, they pay for her rent. She goes out to the bars on Ohio, like, during, like, she does the whole bar hopping thing during, football season. And I'm like, okay, so. It just irks me, because, like, if she wants to go blow her money during the bar hopping thing, by all means, go for it, I guess. But then I don't suggest that my parents pay for her food and rent. That's not very good. So she wastes her money and then proceeds to ask other people for money, which is why when she asked me for money, I charge her interest.
But you gave it to her.
Yeah, but I charge her interest.
So,
as a matter of fact, she owes me $600.
Well, how much is the interest on that?
$100.
So it's a flat interest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do percentages. That's
how long has she owed it to you?
I mean, I don't know. Since she moved into her house, I mean, well, a month ago. I mean, she hadn't been there long.
So, the bragging was that she's going to the bars.
Well, it was more so. I just know that she goes
to the bars.
Is that
a good thing to do? I don't know.
No, she's not bragging that she goes to the bars. She's bragging that that my mom and dad pay for everything for her.
Oh, she was saying that to your face.
Well, not just to my face. To my mom's face, my dad's face, Darian's face, Alex's face, Andy's face, the whole family.
So she was saying, I go to the bars and bar hop.
No,
and
she didn't bring up the fact that she went to the bar. She just brought up the fact that my parents pay everything for her. Again, she called it something, like baby girled, I think. Baby girled. She gets baby girled.
Okay. That's bragging.
I mean, she certainly seems to enjoy the fact that she doesn't have to pay for anything.
Okay. Sounds like an interesting person.
I mean, she's okay.
You like her.
I like Kaylee.
I understand. There you go.
I like Kaylee.
I just
think that of all the, like I said, of all the people in
as
the...
As I always say, a good therapist can help everybody
of
out.
Of all the people in the family, she's bottom rung. I don't dislike her. She's just not the...
That is so androgynous.
In the family group, she's bottom of the...
Does anybody understand
of
any of this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in, because I don't understand any of that. That is all so androgynous to me. I don't get it. You bash her. You point out her faults. You say where there's bias.
Well, she does the same thing to us.
So she feels there's bias and wrongness.
No, I mean, she like she points out what she perceives as our flaws.
How do you like that?
She can do what she wants, I guess.
And what does she say to you?
I mean, I don't know. She's called me, she said that, like, I don't know, just like the typical, like, she calls me a misogynist all the time, which I find to be fascinating.
A misogynist?
Yeah, she seems to think I'm a misogynist.
What do you say to her? That's...
I don't! That's why I don't understand. I don't say anything to her.
Okay. I don't know. Sounds like there's something there.
If you ask her, I'm sure she'll say something. If I said something to her, I don't recall. I mean, there were jokes, I guess. I don't know.
Well, apparently she didn't take them as jokes.
Well, no, but that's because they were at her expense.
So you don't feel you're a misogynist?
Well, I guess if I was a misogynist, I would probably not feel I was a misogynist. So, I mean, it's the whole concept of bad people don't think they're bad.
Well, right, but somebody has to tell.
If I was a misogynist, I mean, I wouldn't think I was a misogynist, I'd assume.
Well, maybe she's doing a good thing for you then, pointing this out.
I mean, she'd have to give me an example.
I don't know. She just sounds a little different.
She's okay.
There's so-
She's all right.
See, there you go.
Like, I don't know, like... She's really argumentative, but, like, you know, when she was in school, every time there was, like, a parent-teacher conference, my parents would be, like, would talk about how the teachers would be like, oh, you know, she's so great and this and that, and, but then, like, at home, like, she'd, I don't know, argue with my mom or something or do something, and my mom, like, one time, my mom tried to take her phone away, and she literally just, like a toddler, laid on her back and started kicking her feet, so my mom couldn't take her phone away. Kicked my mom in the stomach, as a matter of fact.
How old was she?
High school. Oh. I mean, she was a grown person.
Is that one of those family memories you stock away and tell at Christmas time?
Well, I mean, it's a story that still gets told. So,
see, I don't think I have a relationship with any family members like that I can think of.
I just think she's an interesting kind of person.
I guess. Okay,
but she's an interesting kind of person.
Well, I find most people to be complicated, but I don't know if I would call them braggadocious or that sort of thing.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
She just seems to be a go-to for you in a lot of situations. Of an example of what good is not.
Oh, no, I mean, she's not. I mean, like, she does good. I mean, like... Like, I don't know, she does I don't know what, it's like a bingo card, except like the bingo spots are like donations, and all the donations went to something or another, and she filled out like three of those cards, it's kind of, you know, shaky, because it's all beer tabs, but like they go to parties and whatnot, you know, so they collect all the beer tabs from everybody's cans, so they can turn them into the Ronald McDonald House thing, so they can use those, and like, so she does things, I guess. But,
well, there you go.
She does whatever she does, I guess.
I don't know. I think this could be your middle child syndrome kicking in.
Well, I mean, if it was my middle child syndrome, why is it just Kaylee?
Well, I think that's because the middle child would feel jealous of the younger child because the younger child replaced them.
Well, I don't...
Because you were the youngest child till she came along.
Yeah, but I don't have any memory of being the youngest child. Like, my brother was born in 2002, I was born in 2003, Kaylee was born in 2005. Like, I have no memory besides... Like, all memories I have, they're there. I mean, like, we are collectively born.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You never know. All I've heard is you had middle child syndrome.
Okay. All right.
So what do you think that refers to when I hear that? That people, when I'm told you have middle child syndrome?
I don't think middle child syndrome is a thing.
Okay. Well, but you know it's been said.
I guess.
So what do you think they're talking about?
I don't know. I mean, I like to argue. I don't think they like to argue. I don't know. My sister likes to argue, which is why, you know, I like to argue with my sister.
And what's she arguing about?
Oh, whatever. Whatever we're arguing about. We do, like, I don't know what they call it, like, passive arguing. I don't know. They have a term for it. But, yeah, essentially you just argue because there's nothing else to do. So, like, a lot of the arguments we have, there's not really, like, animosity. It's just we're just arguing. There's nothing else to do. So you argue. You insult each other.
Get a new hobby. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Now here's something. The main Democratic Senate candidate, Graham Platner, has had to cover up a Nazi tattoo on his chest and apologized on a podcast recently for drunken posts he made on Reddit in the past. Now, is this a good candidate for office?
Drunken posts made to Reddit and a Nazi tattoo?
Yeah.
You know, it's not my prime candidate.
Well, I guess the question is, should he be forgiven? Should he be, because he feels he should not be disqualified because these things were done in drunken moments in the past and that's not who he is today and people can evolve and so on and so forth.
I mean, if you're gonna get drunk and do something, I figure you have to believe it to at least some extent. Otherwise, why would you get on Reddit and make, I don't know what the posts were, but why would you get on Reddit and make whatever these posts were? And why would you get a I don't know what the Nazi tattoo was, but, you know, I mean, like, Nazi imagery is just, you know, frowned upon. I mean, I think you knew what you were doing when you got the tattoo.
Well, I think there are levels of mistakes. And this is a bad mistake.
Yeah, this is a bad mistake.
And I think we can forgive certain mistakes, but I don't know that you are the best candidate in Maine for Senate.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
You know, I think this is a problem.
I would assume that's a problem. I would pick somebody else.
So are people ever out of... See, this has got, like, the guy who used to run for president, who was the former... He used to say former... Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. And I would think, you know, former, current, whatever, this is a problem. You know, we can forgive you, I guess, if you are not that anymore, but I don't know if you have the best judgment for this kind of a job.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's probably true. I mean, I think that, I mean, if you, I mean, like, did you say Grand Dragon? What a name, by the way. But anyways, if you're going to be the head of some kind of organization that has beliefs of that kind, I mean, I think that, I mean, as like, your beliefs might change at some point, but you still have some kind of, I would assume at least, you have some kind of rooted belief somewhere.
Yeah, but do you think people really pay attention to what they're doing? And do they,
Guy pays attention to
me? No. People who have lived in the internet age. I mean, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody about this idea that people don't realize the stuff they do now does not go away. It's there somewhere forever. And people can find it. And they will find it, and they will use it against you.
Yeah?
I don't know why people don't understand that. I don't think they would do it if they knew that or understood it.
Well, I don't know. I think people, I mean, maybe some people, I think a lot of people tend to not care.
Well, but then they do care when they try to run for office.
Well, you should have thought about that then, I guess.
But they don't. And I truly don't think the majority of people do think about it. I think when they're younger, they think, you know, this is just me popping off and I don't care and this is my opinion and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, some people do get politically active and some people do want certain jobs and people do look into that stuff. And when they look in, they find that stuff that you did that you thought was going to go away, but it doesn't.
Well, I mean, like what?
Well, like a Nazi tattoo.
Well,
and
tattoos are like permanent.
Yeah, but clearly this guy is running for office, and he clearly had to go back and apologize for all this stuff that he knowingly did, and I don't think he's a dumb guy.
He's not dumb, I suppose. You have to understand, like, I don't know how to phrase it, but, like, it's the whole, like, consequences to your actions thing. I'm like, you have to, like, he had to understand what he was doing when he got the tattoo. And now, like, if you, and I understand, I guess he was drunk, but to get drunk and then make whatever posts he made on Reddit, I mean, I think that, you know, you had to believe those things to some extent to get angry enough to get on Reddit and rant about it. It's just not.
Well, should he be forgiven? Well, he said he was drunk.
So what?
Well, again, another bad choice.
If I was drunk and, like, I don't know, insulted somebody, I still insulted somebody. I was just drunk.
You know, when people post drunken pictures, I always think, now, okay, now what is the good part of that? Because, you know,
mom was making fun of me. Because we took a picture at, I guess it's kind of relevant now, I'm about to tell the story. But I had some kind of beer, and I, like, we were taking a picture, and I think I put it either behind my sister's back or behind my cousin's back, and mom's like, why are you hiding your beer? I was like, it's just not proper, I guess.
So you've had this issue.
Well, I mean, they made fun of me for hiding the beer, so.
But you did it for some reason.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem, I mean, I don't know, it just didn't seem, you know, very, very,
But now, see, now, it's interesting, because they think it's okay.
It just, you know, at some point, somebody might see that they're,
right.
See that they're a thing with me and a
right.
beer in my hand.
Right, so
and
why,
that's not a great image, you know?
But now, why would they think that's a great image?
Well, I mean, I don't know, I mean, I guess we were having fun, I mean, it was a party, like I said, so, I mean, I guess
this guy maybe was at a party.
Well,
we must forgive him.
One heck of a party, I guess.
I don't know. All I'm saying is, those pictures are always a little, you know, I get confused by those type of pictures. Because I think, okay, to show you drink, I mean, I guess, nothing wrong. I'm not judging somebody for drinking. But I'm saying to take a picture of it and then share it with all your people, what are we doing?
I don't know. I was in the picture, but I was the only one that looked to be that didn't have a drink.
No, so, I mean, but what's your, is it just to show we're having a good time?
I guess. I mean, that's what social media is about. I mean, I might have the picture. I have pictures from, stuff. More mainly my sister takes the picture. So if you see a picture, like a group picture, it's bound to be. Oh, yeah, see, look, this was the, family parent weekend thing.
Okay.
I have a water in my hand there because I was very intoxicated by the time we left the house, so then we went bar hopping after that, and I was like, look, I'm cool. I started drinking water.
You'd had enough.
I had had enough. Oh, yeah, here's another one. I had a beer at this point in time.
You look a little rough there.
Yeah, because we had just left the house. Like, this is the first bar we stopped at. So, I had actually had a beer at this time.
Well, look how close you are to your sister there. That looks very loving.
Well, yeah. I mean, I sat with my sister.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we were both sitting in that booth.
Yeah. Well, that's very nice.
See, I told her I don't dislike her.
Well, there you go.
She's just like the bottom of the group.
Now, how old is she?
I'm 20. So, 20?
20.
Yeah. 6705.
6705.
January.
What is the drinking age?
Well, she wasn't drinking.
Oh, okay. So she's not. Well, so just going to the bars.
Well, yeah, I mean, we.
Oh, okay. So I'm confused. Yeah, I think a lot of people might be confused about what
okay,
you're saying.
Yes. Okay. Let me refer. Yes, we went to we went to the bars. Kaylee not old enough to drink. Okay. So I mean, because the parents were there, they let her into the bar, but she's not like she wasn't actually allowed to buy alcohol.
Well, you said she bar hopped after the games. I think that was the.
Well, yeah, I mean, her and her friends, I don't know. I mean, she might be getting drinks from them, I guess.
Don't say that. You don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, but, like, I mean, but I mean, they go to the bars after the games or before the games even. So I don't know what the game plan is there.
So you can just go in the bars down there. You don't have to be ID'd or any of that.
Well, I think they ID you, but I think that the game plan, like, they have a marker, and I think they, like, mark your hand or something. I don't know. I was old enough to drink, so I got in.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, Kaylee was not allowed to drink.
So she's not drinking in these pictures, then. So why does it matter if you're drinking in these pictures?
Because she's not old enough to drink.
No, I'm saying you were chastised for not wanting to show that you were drinking. But she's not drinking either, so what makes a difference?
Because she didn't have a drink. She didn't...
I know, but so if she was drinking, it would have been taboo.
It's not like I sat it on the counter. Like, I made, like, I could have just put it off to the side, and then, like, I made an attempt to hide it. I put it behind somebody's back, and my mom was like, why?
Well,
I mean...
Now, did you find that odd that she would chastise you for this?
I mean, she didn't chastise me. She just wanted to know why. I was like, this is not the best image, you know?
I don't know. As we learned the other night, image is everything. Did we not? We had a Jess Sekiro in here, man from movies, Thy Shall Be Done. On Prime Video and all that, Mary Ellen Withrow, and the consensus was image is everything.
Oh, I guess I should clarify, because I did say she goes to the bar and gets drinks. They have, like, you know, virgin drinks. The one that she gets, I don't remember what it's called, but it's good. It's like Sprite mixed with, like, grenadine, and then they got, like, Sour Patch Kids on a toothpick, and then they sit down in the drink. I suggest you get one of those if you ever go to a drink. Honestly, alcohol, not that great, but that thing is good.
So what do you make about the other night of these two people? Obviously, Jazz in a movie, big-time Hollywood movie. Mary Ellen, far in politics, feel image is everything.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably... I mean, you don't want to go changing up your whole image. I mean, I think that... I mean, it all came because Jelly Roll lost a whole bunch of weight and people tend to not
image.
Like it.
Image.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
Taylor Swift.
I mean,
image.
If I picture, I haven't seen Jelly Roll since he lost all this weight. So, like, if I picture Jelly Roll in my head, I'm still picturing, you know, Jelly Roll.
Oh, he's slim.
So if I see Jelly Roll now and he's, you know, 200 pounds lighter, I might be like, what? it's a different kind of thing. It's just not what I'm imagining.
Yeah, but I think they're talking about image, about looking right when you go out.
Yeah, I mean, I assume, if you have a style, I'd stick to your style.
Well, I don't think people like unkept people. If I always said, if you go and speak in front of a group, you don't want to look like the group. You want to look like, you don't have to wear a tie and everything, but you want to look like you should be speaking in front of that group.
Well, yeah, I mean, like... Every day, pretty much, I'm wearing, like, blue jeans and a hoodie or blue jeans and a button-up shirt.
You know, I just, because I was thinking about the elephant shirt. You still have the elephant shirt on.
Just the hoodie, though.
But this is, like, the third day, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have, like, I've changed the shirts, and I've changed the pants.
Okay. Doesn't matter. I was just, the other night, you brought up this hoodie because...
Well, Mary Ellen brought up the hoodie.
Yeah, because you have an elephant on it.
Yeah, because there was an elephant on the
hoodie. And she didn't like that. And I just looked over there and I was like, you still have an elephant on your hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's all.
I mean, yeah. Same hoodie.
So how many days do you go with one?
Well, no, this would be the last day I wear this hoodie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So three in a row.
Well, not always. I just didn't have any other hoodies.
Where are they?
That's the dirty.
Okay. So you're wearing the elephant one.
it was the last one I had.
Okay.
I don't even think this is mine. This might be Kaylee's.
Is it your sister's?
I think maybe. I don't know. I mean, I know that the hoodies are small, and it's not a brand I've ever purchased in my life.
So it's a female hoodie.
Well, I don't think necessarily. I mean, I think that it's like a unisex hoodie. I don't know. I mean, if it's a female hoodie, it's comfortable.
I've never seen a man's hoodie with an elephant on it.
I mean,
unless it's a Republican hoodie.
Well, I mean, on the back it says Ivoryella. I don't think Ivoryella is a brand that men typically buy. Like I said, it was just in my laundry, and I was like, hey, hoodie fits. So I wore it.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what you're hating on.
I didn't say anything.
It's a clean hoodie. That's what Matt, well, you
I
know,
did not
clean-ish
say.
Now.
Did I, what do you think I've said that's bad?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's my sister's hoodie.
Well, it's fine.
I think.
Good for you.
Somebody's hoodie. It's not mine.
Listen, your relationship there is complicated, so I wouldn't say anything about it.
Well, I mean, I don't even know how it got in my clothes.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
But she did not like the elephant. She was very upset the other night about a cute few things. Watch that episode. It dropped today.
Yeah, it was good.
She started hitting the pumpkin at one point.
I like that.
She started really slapping that pumpkin around.
She got energy.
Well, I think she was unhappy with a lot of the topics we were tackling.
Yeah, amped up.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's what you want.
And Jazz was an interesting fellow.
I like Jazz. Talks a lot.
He does like to talk, which nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, it's a talk show. That's what you want.
It is a talk show. He's good on a talk show. But he's, you know, I think he's a good, he's got a lot of dreams, which I think are good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's no point in not.
No. And he doesn't seem to be driven by the money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always good.
Yeah. I think when you're driven by the money, it's bad. As I've said many times. I think if that's the goal, you're never really going to do what you like. You're always going to make the financial choice.
Yeah.
And that's not always the most fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to get paid a lot of money for something, you know, most of the time, it's a rough kind of job, which is why you get paid a lot. Or it's just a... like a supply and demand kind of thing. Some jobs there just aren't a lot of.
Can you believe the election is less than 2 weeks away? Halloween's a week away. Thanksgiving is, what, around a month away now?
Thanksgiving's good. Halloween's bad. Bad holiday.
Halloween's more theatric, which I think, I like the theatrics of it. Like, we're doing a taping on Wednesday. It's going to be a lot of fun. That will be a lot of fun, and you could only do that on Halloween. You could only do that taping on Halloween and get away with it. Plus, it's a much more decorative holiday.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not, I guess.
Or day. I don't think it's a holiday, as it were. But you know what yesterday was? It was National Talk Show Day. So National Talk Show Day was a big deal, and it was the 100th anniversary of... Johnny Carson's birth, the 100th birthday of the legendary talk show host Johnny Carson, and we've got a special guest joining us here at the end of the program today because of that. Go ahead, caller.
Well, hi, am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Well, I expected to be put on hold. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Just terrific. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so glad you were here. Now, this is Joey DiOrea. He was actor...
Bozo the Clown.
Well, Bozo the Clown. Yes, Bozo the Clown. WGN for so many years. And also a guest on the Johnny Carson Show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, it was the videotape of my appearance on The Tonight Show that I sent to producer Al Hall at WGN... that got me my interview for Bozo.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So there you go. It all ended well. Now, what are you, 100th birthday of Johnny Carson yesterday? What are your memories of being on the Johnny Carson Show?
Well, I'll tell you. I was seen by Johnny Carson's casting director, a man by the name of Jim McCulley. McCulley would go to all the comedy clubs in Hollywood and, you know, scout out comedians to bring on the show. And his reputation was that he never smiled, he never laughed, you know. He basically would just sit there stone-faced and analyze what made a comedian funny. And I was working for Milt Larson, the gentleman who started the Magic Castle in Hollywood, at his vaudeville club called the Variety Arts Center. And Milt was bringing two magicians on the stage to audition for Jim McCulley. It was during a big night where there were people in the theater. And Milt said, one magician does a very messy act, and we need time to clean up the act. Would you do your Dr. Flamo act in front of the curtain while we clean the stage? So I said, sure. So I came and did it, and Jim McCulley was sitting right down front, and he had two guests with him. He had Tim Conway and Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett Show. Anyway, I did the act, and sure enough, McCulley sat there stone-faced, but Tim Conway literally slid off his chair onto the floor. And as I was putting stuff away, Milt came backstage and said to me, Jim McCulley wants to talk to you about booking you on The Tonight Show. And I did the New Year's Eve show with Johnny Carson, which was, let's see, 1983, so it was New Year's Eve. And that was it. I went out and went to NBC Studios, and I was there, and I went through the act once with Jim McCulley. And, you know, he gave me a few notes. And as I was starting to move my stuff into my dressing room, Johnny Carson came in. And he was there, you know, wearing a flannel shirt and a pair of jeans. And he saw me, and he shook my hand and said, hello, I'm John Carson. And he said, I've heard from McCulley that you're a very funny young man. We're looking forward to having you on the show. And that was pretty much my only interaction with Johnny Carson. But if your listeners would like to see the Tonight Show appearance, they just have to go to Dr. Flamo, DrFlameo on YouTube, and they can see the my Tonight Show appearance.
Oh, that's terrific, and I think everybody should check that out. You know, Joey, what is it about Johnny Carson? A lot of people mentioned it yesterday that it was his 100th birthday. There's a reason that National Talk Show Day is on his birthday. What was it about him that separated him from everybody else?
Well, you know, he was the original. At the time, The Tonight Show was the only late-night show. I believe it started with, who was it who did it before Johnny Carson? I can see his face, but I can't think of his name.
Jack Parr.
Thank you, Jack Parr. Jack Parr did it for many years, and then Johnny Carson took it over and pretty much made it his own. I think it was his ability not only to be very funny in the monologues and so on, but the fact that he was probably the most gracious interview host there was. He gave his guests, you know, the spotlight. He didn't overtalk them. He didn't try to one up them. He was, and when he had regular guests, like a 100-year-old woman or somebody like that, he was so respectful and so kind, you couldn't help but love the guy.
Well, you know, Joey, what's interesting to me is that Johnny Carson is still remembered. People still think mm-hmm. Johnny Carson. And even though Jack Parr was great and Steve Allen was great, there's something about Johnny Carson that resonates with people to this day. People still watch the old shows. I think they're on MeTV. They watch them on YouTube. And there was just something about him. So it's so interesting that you got to be on his show at its height and meet the man, even though it was for a little amount of time, you got to meet this man who is synonymous with the talk show. And when I heard all this yesterday, it's funny because we have a lot of nice things here in the studio, a picture of me with Helen Thomas and mm-hmm. Phyllis Diller autographs and things like that. But one of my favorite things when planning to do this interview or celebrate what was yesterday, there is a picture in the studio right behind me. Anybody who comes in here can see it. It's a picture, I think it was a WGN publicity photo, 8x10 glossy, of you as Bozo. And years ago, we did an interview. This is probably 15 years ago now. And you wrote to my favorite interviewer, Scott Spears, Bozo the Clown. Your TV friend, Bozo the Clown. And, you know, to me, that's high praise. If Bozo If you're his favorite interviewer, that you're in the talk show business. You're talk show gold.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, you took the time. You're a great interviewer, Scott. Let's face it. That's why you've got such a great popular show. The did I get rid of him? Good. Yes, I did. You know, here's an interesting thing. I have a rather interesting alumni who worked for Milt Larson at the Variety Arts Center. Victoria Jackson. Was she who later went on to the to Saturday Night Live. She was a cocktail waitress at the Variety Arts Center, and she did her act several times on The Tonight Show. And you know how we used to have the the movie time lady, where he would talk with a very pretty girl? For a long time, it was Carol Wayne.
The tea time lady.
The tea time lady, exactly. Well, the second tea time lady was a young actress named Teresa Ganzel. And Teresa Ganzel was a tea time lady, I think, towards the end of the Tonight Show run.
That is very, very... Well, she's still around, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Teresa Ganzel, yes, so is Victoria Jackson.
My goodness. What interesting people. Well, you know, Joey, I've got to ask you this, because for a long time we talked about Bozo and your years as Bozo for WGN, and so many kids grew up watching you all of those years. And for many years, Bozo the Clown was owned by Larry Harmon and his family.
That's right.
There was a little bit of kerfluffle there, but, you know, that's understandable. But now David Arquette has Bozo the Clown. So have things got a little easier in that department? I hear there's going to be a Bozo movie.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I have talked with David a number of times. In fact, I did an interview for a documentary he was putting together. He called me recently to say that the film did not come out, and so we're trying to set up a time where I can meet with him and we can do another interview for his documentary. Let's see. But for many years, yes, Larry Harmon would not let me go out and, you know, go to, like, Comic-Cons and things like that, because he did not want anyone else being known for being Bozo the Clown except him. When David Arquette took over, I contacted him, and he said, yes, please, go out. I want to keep Bozo's name out there. So he's been very helpful and very very supportive in having me go out and appear as Bozo.
Now, would you ever get in the get-up again and do Bozo?
To be honest, Scott, I'm 72 years old. this is a young man's game. But if it was, you know, for a scene or something like that, I would do it again, certainly. But I don't own any of the costume pieces.
Now, does that all fall to David Arquette now as well?
Oh yeah. Again, that would be up to him. And right now, David Arquette is in the process of getting himself known as Bozo. One of the things he does as Bozo is that he'll teach a Bob Ross painting class.
Well, there you go. Merging everything together as it goes.
Arquette is an authorized Bob Ross instructor.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I tell you, and he's a, is he not a member of the famous Arquette family, which was a comedy family?
Yes, his sister, and of course his grandfather was Charlie Weaver.
Charlie Weaver from Hollywood Squares. Yes. People probably remember him best.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, you know, somebody mentioned the Gong Show earlier. Weren't you on the Gong Show, Joey?
Yes, I was.
And see, it all comes together.
In fact, I have a Gong Show trophy here in my office.
Well, Joey, did you keep any of the Bozo outfit? You don't have the whole thing, but did you keep anything?
No.
That?
No, the only thing I've kept was my nose, which was, you know, made for me. But the wig, the suit, the shoes, the gloves, that all belonged to WGN and is currently on display at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago.
Mm. That's tremendous. Well, Joey, I can't thank you enough for calling in today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. I have enjoyed our interviews over the years and will enjoy them as time goes along. But before we part, could you give us a little something in the Bozo voice today, which is not much different than your voice?
No. My wife said there was a thin line between me and Bozo, and I spent 17 years erasing the line. But here you go.
Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?
It's still good to hear. Joey Diaria.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Joey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's a good way to end a show.
You know, I like that. You know, he's got my favorite top of the hour bit, too.
He's Bozo, I'm telling you. Can you imagine the day he went out there in front of the kids and said, "Are you all set for lots of fun and fabulous prizes?" And they go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'm not." I mean, that's comedy. I like him. Dr. Flamo on YouTube. Well, we'll talk more about this tonight and other things. Hey, Bozo the Clown thinks you're a great interviewer. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
National Talk Show Day. Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
That's right. We just want to understand better and see how we might help. And if weed is a part of it, we just want to make sure you understand the negative consequences for someone your age.